What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I'm concerned about a lot of things coming off of tonight. You know, we've got to look at the film and really just see who we have, who can help us, what we may need, and then also things that we can just do better execution-wise, fundamentally, those things. So there's a lot that needs to get cleaned up.
That's Bills head coach Sean McDermott on an answer about, or sorry, on a question about Cole Bishop, right? Sal Mariano, Democrat and Chronicle, asks about your concern about Bishop, and he says, I'm concerned about a lot of things. Going to see who we have, who can help us. So, whatever. It's preseason. They lost 38 to nothing to the Bears. The Saints and Jaguars play to a tie. That might be equally as troubling if you're a Jags fan. Like, what?
Know, we've had a few of those, though, haven't
ties?
We?
Ties, yeah.
We had a few ties in the preseason. Ties.
Happy Monday. Jeremy and Joe with you. It's a football Monday to a point. You know, it is preseason.
I wonder when the last time the Bills put a zero up on a scoreboard, preseason or otherwise. Probably been a long time, right? Maybe in the preseason it could have happened recently. Because, again, we would not remember, right? Or do you think we would? In 3 years, will we remember the Bills get shut out in a preseason game?
Well, the thing about that's a trick is yes, because we remember the goofy things that happen in the preseason.
But that's what I mean. Like,
I would never remember that the Lions went 4-0 the year they went 0-16 unless it was
right.
It's interesting that it happened. It's like, I don't know. You remember something very odd. If I asked you the weirdest thing you've ever seen at a Bills game, you might remember that and have forgotten the 2nd through 10th weirdest things you've ever seen. We remember the 6-3 Bills Browns game because it was so
stupid.
It was comically bad.
Right.
Yeah. So 38-0 is anecdotally, it's interesting.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah. The last time the Bills have been shut out at all was the Allen rookie game in Green Bay. That's the last
22-0.
Yeah. 22-0. And before that, you got to go back to 2008.
803-0550, our phone number. So the Bills get hammered. The numbers are not good. They sat a bunch of their starters. I'm happy with that. They got out mostly healthy. We'll see about Jordan Hancock. Connor McGovern says he kind of just tweaked something, so he missed the game and sat out. He said he tweaked his hamstring in Friday's practice, held out as a precaution, said he's feeling good, would have played if it was the regular season. And the Bills... their offensive line, they're down Alec Anderson and Cedric Van Pran Granger and Tylan Grable for this game, so they're even further on the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
Mixing and matching pieces all up and down the defensive or offensive line. And, you know, they sat just about everybody of consequence.
So very quickly, they did get shut out in the 2022 preseason finale against Carolina. Go ahead and name the three Carolina quarterbacks from that game.
Sam Darnold. Teddy Bridgewater.
Nope. But there is another NFL starter.
Mayfield, that's right. The famous picture.
And then P.J. Walker.
Mayfield, Darnold, and P.J. Walker? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Mayfield in Carolina is completely forgotten.
Couldn't score in the preseason against the Bills.
No, the Bills got shut out.
Oh, the Bills got shut out.
The Bills got shut out, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that game at all. 803-0550. We'll get some calls in. See what you think about it. The joint practice. Sal's coming up at 8 o'clock. So if you watch the game last night and you come away terrified, knowing it's the preseason, definitely tune in at 8 for Sal, because Sal would have been there live at the joint practice where we maybe saw some clips tweeted out or whatever. But we'll get a breakdown of that and a recap of that as well, because that's where the Bills might have done some good things, where not a lot of good things happened at Soldier Field last night. I will say this about Caleb Williams. It's 2 years in a row where he's making really impressive throws against the Bills in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Ben Johnson might get things to work for him where Matt Eberflus and his staff did not.
Yeah.
His one incompletion for Caleb Williams, his final number was like 6 of 7.
Yep.
His one incompletion was impressive.
What was the incompletion?
He gets flushed and he's rolling to his right and he fires it and just misses a little bit low.
Yeah.
But a couple times Williams in that game last night, I know, preseason, Bills backups, you don't have to tell me. But a couple times he spun that ball, and it was like a pro day or a workout. Ooh, if you're a scout, you're watching that. Ooh, look at this. And I will also admit that I had the thought, but I've buried it down deep because it's the preseason, and we don't have these thoughts in the preseason. But I did have the thought, man, look at Colston Loveland getting open all over the field and being a weapon all over the field.
Yeah, but how about that?
But I pushed that down because it's the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
The preseason is a time where you feel these emotions, and then you think, no, don't do that.
Well,
it's the preseason.
It's confirmation of what you might have already thought, which is, hey, he's got a coach that got Sam Laporta to have like the best rookie season a tight end's ever had, and he was a top 10 pick. So
Loveland was, yeah.
It should work there.
Yeah, I think it will.
Right? Their quarterback is crazy talented. The coach is awesome, and they've got weapons everywhere. It is the Bears, though.
That's right.
And that's one of those teams where it's like, oh, they'll figure out a way to mess it up.
Yeah.
Because they usually find a way to screw it up. But the guys that are in charge there, in other circumstances, have total confidence in.
One thing I wonder about the Bears and Ben Johnson, like, what kind of cred does Ben Johnson already have? If it doesn't work out, would people be quick to think, well, I guess Caleb Williams doesn't have it? Because Ben Johnson did it with Goff, and Jared Goff was thought to be left for dead. And Ben Johnson is one of the people involved in getting him back to being one of the very most productive quarterbacks in the league.
How would he not be, though? Like, what would it look like? Is it because he's holding on to the ball and taking a million sacks still?
Because
if he's doing that and there are guys that are being schemed open, then Johnson will not get blamed for that.
Right, that's right.
But if he's not scheming guys open and Williams is like, I don't know. I guess he doesn't have to escape blame, but I think people are more ready to go after Williams than they are Johnson.
Larry in South Florida. Larry, good morning. Happy Football Monday.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was one of the smarter ones, and after their third touchdown, I said, that's it. I'm going to bed. I mistakenly just did a quick check before half and saw it was 28-0. I was like, okay, I know where this is going. So I'm still concerned. I know it was, you know, our twos and threes and fours and – but I'm still concerned with the pass rush. And I know Greg Rousseau is quite a bit younger than Trey Hendrickson. However, I would still love to get Hendrickson here. And I know Cincinnati said they want an impact player and a pick. Now, I don't know. I know Rousseau's got an extension and a healthy contract. I don't know what that does to the cap. But I would definitely offer up Rousseau straight up, or Rousseau in a mid to late round pick, or, and I'm bringing up, I'll be the first to bring up the name and you'll know right away, AJ Epenesa. I'd offer him and possibly a second or third. I'd hate to give up a second. However, I haven't been real thrilled with being second round picks. Got to admit. And if we were able to pull that off, next year has to be, and I'm back on that wide receiver train, first-round pick has to be a wide receiver. It's painful to see that we still don't have a legit number one. Again, we got to wait to see what Coleman does. We got to wait to see how Shakir is. Got to see Palmer. I still have faith in Elijah Moore. But I to see Burden the third, I forgot his Lant was it? I don't know his first name.
Luther Burden.
Bears last night. Didn't they get him late first round or second round?
Second round.
Yeah, we could have got him because we moved up to got Sanders, and I looked at Sanders last night. I watched him. I wasn't impressed. And Landon Jackson was not impressed. Walker, he does take a couple bodies, so I think in the future that's going to be a good pick. I don't really know that much about Sanders. Jackson, to me, was a waste. I would have used that pick on a receiver because you know there's going to be receivers that go in the third round that are going to stand out this year. So I'd love to get your thoughts on Hendrickson to see if it's even viable. Bean would have to pull magic. Well, he just did to get Cook. I don't know where he's getting this money from. But like you said, the cap really doesn't matter. They can move stuff around. I would give up Rousseau for Hendrickson, or Epenesa and give a higher pick. I'd love your thoughts, fellas.
You definitely cannot do that on Rousseau.
No.
The ship has sailed. If just to entertain Larry's specific request here, you can't do that on Rousseau. The time to do that, if you wanted to do that with Hendrickson and Rousseau, would have been before you extended him. Now that you've extended him and given him a contract and money, it is not feasible to take the dead cap that he would be and then get Hendrickson. There's no way to make that happen.
Yeah, next year specifically. Yes. Do you know what it would do to him?
So $20 million dead cap hit?
This year would only cost the Bills $3
okay.
to trade Rousseau. Next year it would be $28.
All right, $28.
And then Hendrickson's deal on top of it.
Right, so now I'm spending $50 million on dead on these two defensive ends. It's one guy's not going to happen.
Right, and reset the Epinesa counter.
Right, Epinesa traded today. Epinesa, that could happen. The problem is Cincinnati... I thought Ian Hart had said the best tweet on this, the best comment on this, and it is so odd what's happening with Hendrickson in Cincinnati. Hendrickson is a great defensive end, and he has outplayed his contract, and here's what Ian Hart wrote. Thinking through the best potential fits for Trey Hendrickson if he's traded, what about the Bengals? Legit contender trying to win now with reasonable cap space, but the defense is looking a bit rough with a major need in the pass rush department.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bengals.
Yeah.
They're a great fit for him, but whatever.
They don't want to pay him.
I guess not. There are reports that Carolina is a team that's there. Maybe they want to trade him to the NFC.
That was the only NFC team I saw listed, though.
The other two were?
Browns and Colts.
Not going to trade him to the Browns. And the Colts, what are you doing?
I turn to the Browns. What are we worried about the Browns for? Go ahead, take them.
The Browns are just going to win games.
Waste away in Cleveland.
With Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson.
They're going to try to win games 9-6 every single week.
No,
I don't know what the Colts are trying to do. Are they trying to win?
Probably.
32-year-old pass rusher. I mean, part of it might be that, again, you're at a time in the year where like the Bills can't really do it. How many teams can realistically do it? Maybe there are a few, but I don't think it's even half the league.
Yeah, but they can't. And on to follow up one more thing, on Burden went two picks before the Bills picked, and the Bills moved up with the Bears. So the Bears had multiple picks. The Bears traded down with the Bills after taking Burden. So the idea that you were going to get him, you probably would have had to move up into the second round if you wanted to go for Burden. Odd receiver.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
What are we doing here? What do you want from me? I think there were three or four rounds in this draft they wanted one, and it just didn't fall that way. Isaac Tesla scored again for the Lions in a nice play in the preseason.
Nice little back shoulder.
Yeah. Torrey Horton's a name. I think they might wanted him. Isaiah Bond, who did not get drafted because of legal troubles, has since... He said he was going to the Browns. Did the Browns finally...
I haven't seen that made official, but there was a thing with him and the Browns.
Yeah. Right, the Bills met with Isaiah Bond 6 times in the pre-draft.
Something like
that. And he's a speedster, so whatever.
He was thought to be like a second-round pick.
Yes, and he didn't get drafted.
Right.
And they met with him a bunch. Private workout, dinner.
Yeah, 4.3 speed.
Yeah.
So
we'll get to that next year.
He was ranked by Mel Kiper 15th overall, Jordan Reed 23rd overall, Matt Miller 16th overall,
and Phil Yates
15th overall, 35th overall by Vinny. Like, everyone had him as like a first round pick or like one of the top 5 receivers, and he didn't get drafted because of legal stuff.
Yep.
I don't see the official Cleveland thing for him. So
he wrote out, his agency did, that like, thank you for the opportunity from the Browns. And I don't know if I've seen that anywhere.
Arrived late last night, set to sign a 3-year deal with the Browns today, but then it was never made official, so I'm not sure why it hasn't been announced yet.
Yep. Thanks, Larry. 803-0550. The Bills fall to the Bears 38-0. And on their draft class, Hairston's hurt. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Sanders, I think, shows some real good promise. I think people have been, if you've been watching Sanders at camp and even in these games. And Deion Walker does as well. I think Deion Walker is healthy And last night he's in the backfield on Bajan's shoulder on a play that was ruled a fumble but then called back incomplete. Landon Jackson, you know, we'll see about that. I think he's living up to the scouting report so far. Powerful, not exactly, you know, bendy or anything like that.
But he's putting zeros up on the stat sheet, right? And I asked Sal about him at camp. He's like, I haven't noticed him. Like, hasn't made a play, hasn't really made a name for himself. Like, it kind of sounds to me like if he wasn't drafted, he would be a player we've never heard of.
All right.
Which, you know, it's preseason.
It's preseason.
It's training camp. Wasn't a pick I liked in the first place, but listen, like that's the type of guy he is. He's a Chris Kelce type of defensive end to me. You're probably never going to hear his name when he's out there on the field, and he might be doing his job every single play.
Yeah, the Bills.
Right? Is that fair? Like he's the type of defensive end that sets an edge and defends the run. And when Brandon Bean says, like, I want to get Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow on the ground, I'm not sure he's the guy that's going to be doing that.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Joe in Rochester. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, just a quick question about the lone Bills touchdown that got called back, you know, that defensive score. They called it incomplete pass. But I was just wondering, like, your thoughts on it. The first thing that popped into my mind was, well, gee, if it's incomplete, the guy was in the pocket, no wide receiver in the area. The ball didn't make it back to the line of scrimmage. That's the criteria for intentional grounding. And I was just wondering why they didn't even discuss that. And I was just wondering your thoughts.
Well, because if a player is hit, like he's got a defender impeding his ability to throw. And anytime that's going to be the case, like if you get blasted as a quarterback or hit or held and the ball doesn't reach its target, they're not going to call intentional grounding just because they know that, you know, you attempted the throw, but you couldn't get it to where it was going.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That'd be my best guess. I mean, I'd consider it a victory they didn't bring Mike Pereira on.
I was going to say, should we call Mike Pereira
to talk about
and ask
it.
Him?
But
he was dressed crazy sharp last night for Pereira for that job, wasn't he?
Did they let him go home in the second half?
They should have. I didn't hear from him.
If he gets to go home in the second half, then he shouldn't be allowed to be in the first half. We're not going to do this thing, NFL. The rules officials only show up for the first half of preseason games.
Like, hey, Mike, we're going to talk to Bean. We're going to talk to the Bears guy. We're going to talk to Josh. Like, you can step out. You're good. You can go home.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like getting cut loose when you're working at a whatever, anywhere, a store, a fast food, like a bar.
Like, what are they going to do? You're 2 minutes left in the preseason. Like, all right, what do you see here, Mike?
Yeah.
It's 38-0, and there's a offside and a field goal or some stupid thing. Like, oh, I don't know. It looks like he was on the line. And by definition, that's off. Just whatever.
Dennis in Lockport. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, as you're talking about cap guys and all that, what is your take on Curtis Samuel? Did we make a mistake with that and maybe should have just kept Hollins here and let him drift? Because it just seems like he's a player sitting on the bench taking up a spot that is just not producing. I want to get your guys' thoughts on that.
I think the Bills did want to keep Hollins, which begs, you know, I guess it makes me wonder, if they had kept Hollins, which they wanted to do.
Yeah, what would be different?
What's different? Would they not have Josh Palmer? Because they just liked
They probably don't have Elijah Moore.
Okay.
That's probably right.
They sign Hollins and they add Moore also. They add Palmer too.
That would be my guess.
Maybe, because Mac Hollins plays on the outside, and now I've got Hollins and Coleman and Palmer outside. Maybe. I just don't know. But on Samuel, he did. The thing about Samuel is he really started to show you how he would fit and what he could do last season in the postseason, and at the end of the regular season. He's just not been available. He had turf toe all year last, or whatever, early part of the year last year, and that was a reason that things didn't get going. And then he gets to be part of the lineup, and he plays. And he made a big difference in the Denver game. So I feel like with Samuel, if you didn't have that little month and a half, 2 months at the end of last season, this would be louder. And right now, what are the Bills' options? Try to trade him while he's hurt. That's tough.
Yeah, or who's going to want him?
Or do you see what he did and think, we've seen what it is. We just want that. Is he much different than, boy, I'm trying to think of like who else they've signed like this where they know it works, and if they wait for it, they could get the returns they want.
Like through injury?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like guys that it's ended up working for after the fact. I don't know how like those guys get in. You know, like thinking about remember O.J. Howard like dealt with some nagging stuff when he was here, and like they just cut that. Like yeah. they just said like it was a 1-year deal.
And they guaranteed him some money. Like that was money lost.
Like, but they said like we're good. We don't need to wait for this. Yeah. Like we're gonna let it go. And then he never did anything in the league after that. So they might have made the right call. I don't know. Like, is there an example of a guy that they really had to wait for? I mean, no, not that. I mean, they tried to wait for Tre'Davious White for a long time.
Yeah.
Then he gets the Achilles tear.
He got hurt again.
And now he's back, so I don't know. I can't. I'd love to see it go well. I like the player, but how would it look? Or how could it happen? Shakir's got a high ankle sprain. If Samuel were to get back on the practice field today and he stays healthy now through to the start of the year, I mean, I could see him, hey, Shakir's got a high ankle sprain. Maybe they don't want to put him in 100% of his role yet. So what does Curtis Samuel do? He plays out of the slot. He gets yak plays. Like, he gets the stuff that Shakir does, and you feed him out of the gates. But what does that sound like? He hasn't practiced in a month.
Right. It'd be one thing if he was available right now. You'd probably get a really good look at it because of the injury to Shakir.
I would think he was in line for a role in week one.
Yeah.
Because of Shakir dealing with an injury that can nag you early on. But he's just not, you can't say that about him. Hasn't practiced in a month. Or close to it.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. It is victory. No, definitely not a victory.
It's definitely not a victory.
Well, hold on.
Unless injuries?
Yeah. Dane Jackson looks to be about it. I'll call that a victory Monday.
And Jordan Hancock.
Not Dane Jackson.
Jordan Hancock.
So, sure. The preseason's about getting out healthy.
Yeah.
And when they warmed up all their starters on the sidelines and on the field before the game, that was a victory. Good decision to not put Josh Allen out there.
I would agree. Shut up. Did not need to put. I did. I asked my buddies last night because they were all complaining about the game. Like, I think Josh should start the second half. Just see if he could do it. When you're down 28-0, you want to just see if you could do it, Josh. Well, in one half, can you beat the Bears' third stringers 28-0 in a half?
Sounds like a reality show.
Sounds like a good idea. Good thing they didn't do that.
Right. Don't want that. What else happened in the preseason over the weekend? Anybody else?
Ollie Gordon in Miami. Name to know in the fantasy world.
Power back.
Was a Heisman candidate going into last year, but then he got a DUI. Remember that? Because Mike Gundy said like the most ridiculous quote a coach has ever said in the history of football.
I don't remember the quote.
The quote was like, "Oh, we've all done that, haven't we?"
Right, right.
And then he said his punishment was going to be that he's going to give him more carries. So, anyways, that guy.
That's tough.
Who was, again, a Heisman candidate before all that happened, got drafted in the sixth round, and he's been, like, dominating in Miami.
And that's one thing. If you're...
And HN got hurt.
HN got hurt. If you're someone that's looking for, like, flyers, a power back on Miami, when Miami is intent on proving they can run the ball with power.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's very much a... Miami's talking a lot about needing to be tougher, meaner, more physical.
Right.
And kind of change the idea that they're just this finesse team, so... All right, Ollie Gordon.
Yeah, he's the name to know.
File it away.
And Jalen Wright, the other back there, fumbled at least once in this preseason game. So, like, everything is, you know, trending up right now for Gordon.
You might get fooled by running backs running over guys in the preseason because it's, you know, these are a lot of backups. Ashton Jeanty ran over a Niners player.
Yes, he did.
And there was one other guy that I'm trying to think of a truck stick out there.
Gordon bulldozed the dude.
Gordon did.
Someone else, maybe.
There's one more. Oh, Trevion Henderson through the Vikings defense.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. He looks good.
If you're trying to get Henderson, good luck. His draft stock is through the roof based on, like, two preseason games.
Yeah. Well, and one of those was a kick return touchdown that wouldn't even counted for fantasy.
Right. 803-0550. Sal, to make everybody feel a little better, maybe, you know, arrow up and arrow down. There'll be a lot of arrows down. But mainly... We'll get to the game with Sal at 8 o'clock. I want to talk about the joint practice and find out what happened there, how that looked. Josh Allen, the starters, they played a lot in the joint practice on Friday. Jeremy and Joe, if you have a phone call you want to throw our way, we are wide open and take your calls on the other side here on WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.